I'm joined right now here on The Local with Eric Berry of Trampled by Turtles. How's it going, Eric?
Not too bad. How are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty well, having a good time playing some local tunes. So you've got these shows this month. You've been releasing them every Thursday, and they were all recorded at First Avenue, if people don't know. You want to give us a little info about kind of this whole month-long concert series you've got going on?
Sure thing. So every Thursday we're doing a pre-recorded concert that we did. We recorded them back in September, and they kind of have different themes. The two that we've already done are we played Palomino in its entirety, and then we played Stars and Satellites in its entirety. Tomorrow night it'll be a combination of The Wild Animals and Life is Good on the Open Road Records. We're calling that one the Pachyderm Session because we recorded both of those at Pachyderm Studios down in Cannon Falls. And then a week from tomorrow, it'll be what we're calling Old School, which we'll be playing Sitting Down, songs off the first we are playing a few tunes even off of Duluth, but they're all tunes that we really haven't played in forever. Some of those songs from A Ghost Town and Blue Sky and the Devil songs in particular.
Yeah, I liked the release for it that said it was going to harken back to the days when you all sat in chairs and kind of faced each other as opposed to your more of current, like across the front of the stage lineup.
Well, for what it's worth, we did sit across the front of the stage.
Nice, yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, no, that was pretty fun. We haven't done, like, some of those songs we probably haven't played since, 2010. So it was a kind of a trip down memory lane. It was amazing how much muscle memory works and how much muscle memory doesn't when we were dusting some of those off.
Yeah, so how does practicing for those go with COVID and with restrictions, especially if these are songs that you say, you haven't played for many a year now? How did that kind of rehearsal go? How did the band get together? What was that like?
Well, so we did record them in September, and that was by design. We did three drive-in shows in September as well. So we were together for about a week, and that was when we did those rehearsals. And then we also were touching base beforehand. What are we going to do? What aren't we going to do? So, we were all kind of privately rehearsing or practicing, or I guess it's just me. I don't know what I say about it. And that included, like, Eamon having to learn cello parts for some of these songs, or Ryan having to come up with fiddle parts. So, because some of those first two records, he wasn't in the band yet. When I say, like, it was interesting what muscle memory would do or wouldn't do, it was sort of like me sitting down like, okay, how did I used to play this? And then it's like, oh, just like this.
Yeah, that is nice how your body can hold on to that information. You decided to do Palomino first, Stars and Satellites, so kind of moving chronologically. What was the decision to kind of deviate that from the one that's going to air tomorrow? You said that's Pachyderm Sessions, kind of encompasses a few different projects that were recorded at that studio.
Yeah,
how did that set list, I guess, the order of those four shows and the music that was going to be played within them, how was that chosen?
So, 2020, amongst other things we can say about that year, was the 10th anniversary of Palomino, and initially we were hoping to have these come out in the calendar year 2020. So that was part of the motivation to do a Palomino in its entirety project. And then that sort of just kind of got us thinking along those lines. Quite frankly, we were just unable to decide, it kind of felt weird to be like, well, let's ignore Wild Animals or let's ignore Life is Good on the Open Road. I mean, for context, like everybody else, like life kind of shuts down in March and then we're getting together in September. And it's like, man, it is fun to play again, and like we've all missed it, and it was just quite frankly a matter of like, are we really not going to play songs off Life is Good or Wild Animals when we're doing these things? So the fact that they were recorded in the same place kind of allowed us to be like, oh, this is a theme, and then the Old School set, there was talk of doing like all of Ghost Town or all of Blue Sky and the Devil. And quite frankly, it was like, there are some of those songs that we just don't want to play again. There's a reason we don't play them anymore. They're 17, 18 years old. So So it just kind of became more of this, like, let's just play a bunch of the older songs.
Yeah, definitely. And so I noticed that the covers EP, Sigourney Fever, also recorded at Pachyderm Studios, right?
That's true.
Is that one, you don't have to give anything away about the shows that haven't actually aired to the public yet. Does that mean there's, did any of those covers make it in, anything like that in these live shows?
Oh God, I actually don't remember.
It's been
a
while.
You know, it's like, I know what we did for, Palomino and Stars and Satellites, and then I have some memories of, tunes dusted off for, Old School, but, you know, kind of being honest, like, the Pachyderm one was, like, just the more modern songs we do that we really like.
So yep.
We just played them.
And before we get back to that concert series, with that Sigourney Fever EP, is that kind of a group decision to pick what to cover? Is Dave Simonette kind of leading that? Or how do you guys come up with that kind of strange mix of tunes that showed up on that project?
So I got to think about what... The Pocahontas is one that... is a really nice one for the two Daves to sing harmony on. And that is a like a vocal showcase we don't do very often, where Dave Carroll is a lot more front and center than typical. Usually it's Dave and Tim Faxog singing duet-style stuff. So that was one of the reasons to choose that. The Radiohead song, Fake Plastic Trees, is just, I think that's one of the, for my money, that's one of the our better covers that we do, as far as, like, a song in a band that's influential on us, and that I think we use our instrumentation to good effect. The two Tim songs, Ooh La La is one we've been doing for years, and it just fits really nice. And then that Keep Me in Your Heart, that Warren Zevon song, that's just a powerful song. It's a really good one. And then Our Town is one that we did a lot in the year 2016. When we kind of knew that we would be taking an extended chunk of time off. So it's kind of an emotional song for the band in that regard.
Yeah,
and,
sorry, go ahead.
There really wasn't any, like, really heavy discussions about what songs should be on there, because it was like, these are five songs we do well, let's do them.
Yeah, stuff that the band had been, sounds like, playing for a little while. And
yeah.
It's nice that it has such a natural feel and not have that sort of debate of songs that maybe each individual member likes more than the rest.
Yeah, there really isn't anything like that. I mean, I think we all could, like, make a list of, like, 10 cover songs we'd like to do, and there'd probably be songs that'd be unique to each one of us that we're choosing. But yeah, those five on that EP were easy peasy.
So let's get back to these First Avenue shows. What's it like to record a show there with limited or no fans? I mean, you guys have packed that place,
right?
So what's how does that compare to that? What's it like playing in there with just kind of cameramen or whoever's there?
Yeah, it was a video and audio crew there. It, to be honest, it felt more like other sorts of studio work, even though the studio in this case was First Avenue. Like some of the times we've done, we've done things for, like, other radio stations where, you know, you do, like, a live in studio, but there's also a video component to it. And then we weren't, when you watch these, they're not exactly like a complete document of a live show, in that, you know, it's not like we get done with a song and then start the next one immediately. There were some pauses and stuff. We did do some songs again. Like, ugh, I kind of blew that. Let's try that again. there was some stuff, like, before we, like, well, hold on now. Are we sure we got this? It goes like this, right? Right? You know, that kind of stuff was happening. So it was a little bit more like, you know, other sorts of studio experiences as opposed to, like, a live concert experience. It definitely did help that we had played three shows in the days beforehand, and one of them was also live streamed. So we'd been doing, you know, sound checks, broadcast sound checks, and video, whatever the video sound check is called, you know, the video check, we'd been doing that for a few days beforehand, too. So it just sort of felt like a week's worth of kind of a different way of playing shows in a very different environment.
Yeah, it's nice. Sounds like had a little bit of at least as much familiarity with the process as you could going into it instead of just kind of showing up and walking into an empty room for the first time.
Yeah, you know, and one of the really cool things about the drive-in shows was, you know, we use in-ear monitors, and it was really interesting that there, you know, since there wasn't a whole bunch of people pressed up in front of the stage, we actually could hear, like, our live sound that goes out to the front through our in-ear monitors, and it was really kind of cool, like, oh, wow, this is what we sound like, you know, like, as opposed to this other sort of in-ear monitor mix that we get used to most times. You know, it was very different, and it was really rewarding and fun to do as well.
Yeah, can you talk about that a little more? Say for people like me who you know, have never performed live in front of people and have never had that, how the sound works in that situation. Can you dig into that a little deeper?
Sure. So, you know, like if you were to go play a live show in a like in a smaller environment, and you'd play like say electric music, the way that you need to hear like something that's quiet, such as your own voice, you need to have a speaker that's for you to hear your voice, and that's called a monitor. And what generally happens is you either use an on-stage monitor, which is kind of like an amplifier designed to point at you, or you use an in-ear monitor, which is like a really, really nice set of earbuds that, like, really nice, stuck inside your ears. The thing about those is you can't really hear things naturally with your ears. You're hearing what is in the monitors. So it's kind of weird, like just like getting ready to go on stage, for example. If I have them in and Dave Simonette says to me, "Are you ready?" He's kind of got to go, "Are you ready?" or else I won't hear him. So when you're playing a show and there's 1,000 people pressed up to the front of the stage yelling, you kind of can't really hear them, even though they're right there, like 8-10 feet from you. So we have microphones in the crowd so we can hear them. And then, so that's like the way it is like in a non-COVID situation. So then, you know, these COVID shows where everyone's distant and there's a lot of space, and I think everyone enjoyed themselves at the shows, but one of the odd little things we just didn't anticipate was we still had those microphones in the crowd, but the crowd is a lot more dispersed, so there's not as much sound of people, just sound of, it's a different sound. And it was just, you know, I don't know if I am describing it very well.
Yeah, I think you're doing a good job. I think that makes a lot of sense. So there were a few fans there?
Yeah.
Was it like a...
We did not at First Avenue.
Okay, got it. You're talking about for the other ones.
First Avenue was completely in front of, I mean, it was like a real silent environment.
Mm-hmm.
It was just people working.
So do you notice I'm guessing during sound check it's probably similar to that, but does sound just move through differently without all those bodies kind of packed in front of you?
It does, and one of the things that our crew has to work with is, like when you do a sound check at First Avenue under normal conditions, it might be a little boomy because when there's 1,500 people in there, those bodies are going to soak up those sound waves. But if you're doing something like we were doing, there isn't going to be those bodies in there to do that. So you have to, you know, you have to mix it differently, like using First Avenue as an empty space. It's a great sounding room,
mm-hmm.
So you absolutely can do that. But it is a little unique for how you approach that. It's definitely not what's typical. Although I would imagine now their crew has got that room just dialed in for a socially distanced experience.
Wow. Yeah, that's interesting. They have had a lot of time to perfect that, I guess. Seems like they've been kind of cranking out these shows, which is really cool to see. It's great to get a little taste of what we are all missing so much. Well, before we go, I just got to ask you one more question about some stuff that you've been doing on your own, kind of away from the band. I know if you check out on your Facebook, there's even a Madonna cover on there. How have you been staying busy playing music on your own?
Not, I haven't been staying very busy playing music on my own. It's for the first time in years. I've actually have allowed myself to just sort of I don't want to say step away from playing music because that sounds a lot more dramatic than it is. But for years and years and years, I've either been playing gigs or getting ready to play gigs or, you know, writing songs to play gigs or just whatever it is. And it's just a little bit different now, and I've been kind of enjoying, like, not having to worry about it. If I don't pick up an instrument today or this week, okay, you know. And I've been doing things like trying to read actual books made out of trees more. Or I've put a couple Tai Chi apps on my phone, and I've been trying to do that. And, you know, I've got kids, and so I've been becoming a distance learning teacher. And, you know, just enjoying, you know, taking advantage of the ability to spend time together and trying to view it not as, well, we have to because this is what's going on, so much as, you know, because this is going on, we get to do this. And so that's really what I've been focusing a lot on. Musically, I dug out my old guitar. And so now, more often than not, if I do play some music, I'm playing it on guitar, which I haven't really done pretty much since I started playing mandolin very seriously. So I've been taking advantage of the fact that I can do some different things and enjoying it.
Well, that's really good to hear. I'm really glad that you are doing well and finding ways to kind of figure out other things to do. I think there's a lot of good lessons in what you said for the rest of us as well, feeling, you know, cooped up or whatever it may be. But yeah, glad to hear that you are doing well, and thank you so much, Eric, for joining us, letting us know about those shows. It's been a pleasure to have you on.
Absolutely, thank you.
And once again, the latest episode, Pachyderm Studios Performance, will be airing tomorrow. That is a live from First Avenue from Trampled by Turtles. Once again, thank you to Eric.